This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we're welcoming back to the Paracast my older friend David Halperin. Although there was a period like in the mid-60s where he and I disagreed about a case in public, and we had some fascinating debates on it, but disagreeing never takes away one's friendship. And I know there were a number of years when I was not in touch with David. I'm quite happy to be in touch with him again, especially since he is still following this crazy subject about UFOs. David, welcome back to the Paracast. And just very briefly, before we get to the meat of this conversation, I'd like you to tell our listeners quickly where your views stand about UFO reality. Go ahead, please.
Okay, I do not believe UFOs exist in the physical sense. I believe they are visitors from inner space. That is to say, a psychological phenomenon. I do not know if we fully understand the phenomenon or its dimension. What I'm convinced is that it's an enormously important subject. It's never lost its power for me, even when I stopped believing in UFO's literal reality. And as we've had much opportunity to see this past summer, it has great power for others. And I think we have to understand that power. And behind the question of power, we have to understand its meaning.
Now, why do you say this past summer it demonstrated it had great power? In what sense?
It seems to me that UFOs have filled the media. Beginning in April, when the Defense Department confirmed those UFO videos, going on through the summer, when the New York Times, which now seems to be unabashedly pro-UFO, began releasing more details of the continuing Pentagon programs about UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena, that the Senate Judiciary Committee called for investigation of UAPs. Senator Harry Reid of Nevada was quoted in the New York Times as having said that there had been crashed UFOs that have been retrieved. And then in August, the Defense Department announced the formation of a new group to deal with the UAPs. I do not remember any time in the past in which UFOs have had such respectability as they have this past summer.
So why then would the Defense Department, people like former Senator Harry Reid, who was at one time the Senate Majority Leader, why would they embrace something that is a psychological phenomenon?
Because clearly they don't see it as such. And I need to ask, what is there that gives them the conviction that it is real and vital to study? Because in a sense, I would accept both of those statements, just not in the strictly literal sense.
Okay, so last time we had you on, we got into this. I really love having you on because what you have is a different way of looking at the phenomena. It may be the case that both views aren't mutually exclusive, it may be the case that we're talking about a combination of something that is a reflection of our inner psyches, but is also physical in nature. And this brings up a really interesting point that we've been talking about on the Paracast community forums for, well, years now. How do we identify and explain the inner psyche, our consciousness, the presence of consciousness in the first place? When we start to look into that question, we can say, well, if UFOs are a manifestation of our inner psyches, maybe everything else is too. How do we tell the difference? How do we know that we're not just brains in a vat, that virtually our entire worldview is just made up of an illusion of some kind?
Yeah, I think this is a very old philosophical question. I think that Samuel Johnson was asked, how did he refute an idea very much like yours, the one you've just expressed, whereupon Johnson kicked at a rock and said, I refute it thus. Now, I don't know if that is an adequate refutation, but I think most of us find our surrounding world, the desk that I'm sitting at, the laptop that I'm facing, the mostly bare trees that I see outside the window, those parts of our external world have a stability about them. They will stay still if you go out to touch them. If I were to go out through the door, I could touch that tree. The UFOs seem to have a greater degree of elusiveness.
No question about that. But then, you know, when we're talking about the physical, one of our forum participants, who goes by the name of Marduk, he made a really, really good point about the physical and what we might sort of have a notion of as being the non-physical. And that is that anything that can relay information to us in our physical world. In other words, if we think we're physical and we can sense it, by its very nature, whatever it is must also be physical in nature. Otherwise, it would not be able to impart anything into our physical existence whatsoever. And so this raises the point about, well, what is physical? Either everything is physical in a sense, and that includes, you know, things like light waves and other very ethereal things, or more material things like, you know, tables and chairs and rocks that we kick.
Okay.
And how do we reconcile that? Like, how can we say one is physical and one's not?
The one that's physical is the rock we kick, and what is not physical is the light waves?
Oh, I think a physicist would say light waves are very physical. They're made of photons. They're measurable. What I'm saying, I mean, there isn't a physicist alive who would say that light isn't a physical phenomena.
Okay, so what are you saying is the non-physical?
Well, what I'm saying is that everything is physical that we can detect. So if we can detect it, it must be physical by virtue of the fact that we can detect it.
And that would apply to a UFO.
Absolutely.
Okay, now if, as often has happened, I see the planet Venus, say, under unusual conditions, and it seems to me to be moving, and I say, that's a UFO. Now, that certainly exists. I do not deny the physical existence of the planet Venus. But what I may perceive when I look at Venus may be something quite beyond what is there in front of my eyes. And it's in that gap between the object perceived and the perception that I see the UFO.
That is absolutely fabulous. This is just why I love having you on the show, David, because you come up with such interesting ways to look at the subject. And this brings us back to the start where I said, well, maybe what we're looking at is some combination. Maybe there are physical, or I should say material objects, things that we would think of as some sort of, you know, metal or plastic or something we can build things from that we can see and touch and feel.
Yeah, let's do our break here, guys. More to come with David, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hello, Paracast people. I'm Greg Carlwood, the host of the Higher Side Chats podcast, an uninterrupted and action-packed interview-based show where I talk to some of the brightest minds for our troubled times about all things paranormal, occult, esoteric, and conspiratorial. After 10 years, we've heard it all. Alien moon bases, archons, hollow earth, technocratic and biomedical agendas, magic, mind control, and Lovecraftian monsters. Oh my. Usually, the first hour of the show is free, and the second hour is for members who sign up for the Higher Side Chats Plus at $8 a month. But praise be, we're giving Paracast listeners 2 free weeks of Plus when you use the all caps coupon code PARACAST. Go to thehiresidechats.com, sign up with the code PARACAST, and dive into the nearly never-ending archive of great interviews I've been lucky enough to get over the years, from David Politis to David Icke, and many, many guests not named David. Check it out. You're going to love it. All right, Gene, was that good? Can we use that one?
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have 2 convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So between our breaks, Randall was getting his Mr. Rogers shirt on. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct, or at least that's what it has been referred to, but that's because I'm up here in Calgary, Alberta, where it is currently minus 12 degrees. that's centigrade in Fahrenheit. That would be, I guess, 11, something like that. It's below freezing, in other words. So it's gotten a little chilly here in my little miniature studio.
Well, right here, it's in Mesa, Arizona, it's 85 degrees. In North Carolina, David Halperin, what's the temperature?
Somewhere around 55. It was pretty nippy when I got up this morning, but now it seems to be quite pleasant.
Okay, so what we're doing here, and we'll get to the meat of this conversation in a moment, was to go over David's particular belief about UFOs being a psychological phenomenon. But at one time in the past, you were in the ET camp, correct?
Absolutely.
Where was the line of demarcation? Where did it change for you?
Where did it change? Okay. I'm going to move back a little bit and talk about... Okay. That I became a UFO believer through a sudden conversion when I was 12 going on 13, and I read Gray Barker's They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers, which, for reasons that we might want to talk about more, powerfully appealed to my sense of reality and gave me the conviction that what Barker was describing, fantastic though it was real. And so I became a ufologist, and since there was no clear alternative to an ET explanation of where the UFOs were coming from, I accepted that. Now, I guess when I was about 17, and I was about to go off to college, I lost the belief, not that UFOs were real and extraterrestrial, but that there was any way we could know anything about them. And therefore, it was better to spend my time researching more promising areas. Very, very gradually, my belief faded. There wasn't any one morning when I woke up and said, boy, now I know we're not being visited from outer space. But just it just lost its reality for me. Then when I was 22, I, through a remarkable coincidence, I met Jacques Vallée. And Vallée's Passport to Begonia, which had been recently published, opened for me a way that I could take UFOs seriously without clinging to ET. And under that influence, I reread a book that I had read years before, Carl Jung's Flying Saucers, which I could not make much sense out of, and I realized that this was the path that I wanted to take, that UFOs were important. UFOs did have a reality, just not the kind that I'd always imagined.
Right, and this brings us back to where we were before the last break, that what we're talking about is two different kinds of realities, one being very subjective and another being very objective. So the objective being the materials that we see the world is made out of and the physical phenomena that's in it, such as lights and pressure waves and so on. And then there's the subjective, the what we think about it, how our worldview is formed from those experiences.
Yes, yes. And I remember when we talked about this last time, Randall, you raised the question, maybe it is both. As Jung said, maybe real objects can be the stimuli for psychic projections. And I cannot rule that out. But I find, let's say, small utility in supposing that UFOs have a physical existence.
What do you mean by small utility? I'm not clear on that.
That is that I do not understand UFOs. I do not understand the world any better when I assume that. Whereas I think I do understand them better when I see them as psychic projections.
Oh, okay. So that's kind of interesting. So you're looking at it from a very personal point of view of how it affects you personally on your level, whereas, say, someone like myself who I think that probably the best explanation from my perspective is that we are dealing with some sort of interstellar travelers and that there is a material reality. And so compared to someone who doesn't believe that, knowing, having a certainty that the universe does have other life in it and that we're just a very small part of a much larger picture is of great significance to me and to many of the experiencers we've had. So this is really interesting that from your perspective, that part doesn't matter so much. It's how it affects your personal view of the world that matters.
Or how it affects the experiencers. Because I do not question that the people who experience UFOs have experienced something. But I think that to ask what is that something, we need to look at the experiencers themselves and not at the external stimulus.
Well, that would also say that since this is a subjective experience, everyone will experience it differently or what?
Yeah, I think so. And this is why one of the facets of the phenomenon that most puzzles me is the jointly witnessed UFO, where there does seem to be some agreement. And I'm not sure how to explain that.
Well, I guess maybe if we go with Jung, like you're a fan of Jung, and it's a really interesting idea that he poses, in that there is some sort of a collective unconscious, and that there's this idea of archetypes, and that perhaps this Mandela, this UFO, this disc, is something that we all share on a subconscious level.
Let's continue with this discussion in our next segment. We're talking with David Halperin and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The United States has reported nearly 200,000 new coronavirus cases in a single day. About 195,000 new cases were reported on Friday, a new single-day high. That pushed the seven-day average of new cases to over 166,000. The U.S. has now passed 12 million total coronavirus cases since the beginning of the pandemic. There is some good news in the fight against COVID tonight, as an experimental treatment for COVID-19 has gained emergency authorization from the Food and Drug Administration. The antibody treatment developed by Regeneron is authorized for the treatment of mild to moderate COVID-19 in adults. The treatment has been praised by President Trump and was one of the therapeutics that he received while he was hospitalized after contracting the virus back in October. Earlier this month, emergency authorization was also given to a similar drug being developed by drug maker Eli Lilly. This is USA Radio News. A judge in Pennsylvania has dismissed a lawsuit from the Trump campaign that sought to stop the state from certifying its election results. The president's lawyers had argued that different counties took different steps to let voters know about issues with their mail-in ballots, therefore violating the guarantee of equal protection under the law. In a statement, the president's legal team said they would appeal the district court's decision all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary. And if you're unsure about preparing your turkey to top your Thanksgiving table, Tim Berg tells us where to find all the answers from the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau.
Just ahead of Thanksgiving, the Butterball Turkey Line is ready to help. The line has been around since the 1980s, and the most common question they get is how long it takes to defrost a turkey, which the professionals say is 24 hours for every 5 pounds, and to thaw it in the fridge. Anyone planning to cook a turkey who has questions can call the hotline at 1-800-288-8372. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
As we get a little further into this theory of David's, we want to see how that relates to a series of blogs he wrote after seeing the James Fox UFO documentary, The Phenomenon. Let's continue, Randall.
Right, so just before the break there, David, we were talking about how we might explain the similarity of experiences between multiple witnesses in a multiple witness sighting, that it might be explained by looking at it the way that Carl Jung does with a collective unconscious and the idea of archetypes.
I'm wondering if we can sharpen this discussion by taking a specific case, and that is the Father Gill sighting, or the sightings of June 26th and 27th, 1959, which Fox devotes a few minutes to in his documentary, and which I talked about in my blog post on the documentary, as well as in my book Intimate Alien. Shall we talk about that?
Absolutely, yes. And Intimate Alien is out in Amazon right now. People can get it there. It's a very recent book. And by all means, let's talk about the Father Gill case.
Okay, we really have two key sightings. One on a Friday evening, June 26, 1959, and the next on Saturday evening, June 27th. The sightings took place on the southeastern coast of Papua New Guinea at a mission, at a place called Boyanai, where Father Gill was the spiritual leader. He was a young Anglican priest. He was the spiritual leader to a congregation of Papuans who were highly educated, strong-minded men and women who, at least according to Gill, didn't care too much for being led by a European priest, who at the same time seem to have strong affections for Gil. On that evening of June 26th, which, given that this was the Southern Hemisphere, was the depth of winter, Gil spotted what seemed to be a disc or approaching the mission building. Eventually, a crowd of 38 people gathered, and they watched this disc, and they saw emerge from the disc four men who walked on top of the disc rather like sailors on the decks of their ships. Gil called the men and remarked at one point, "No doubt they are human." At the same time, perhaps contradicting that, he described them as being self-luminous. He said they were glowing. And in a later interview, he said, "No doubt they were angels." There were four of them, seemed to be performing some sort of operation on the deck of the ship, and then the ship disappeared in the clouds. Gil seems to have gathered the witnesses into a room. They made sketches of what they had seen, which seemed to be quite similar, sketches of a disc with men on top of it, and something like 25 of the 38 who had gathered signed their names saying, "Yes, I saw this," which is itself remarkable, but also needs to be noted that 13 did not sign. And we have to explain why they did not sign. Now, what were these people looking at? Martin Kottmeyer, who is a fairly prominent UFO skeptic, has analyzed a diagram that Gil did of the position of the UFO, as well as three auxiliary UFOs that appeared later that evening, and found that they corresponded, the large one to the planet Jupiter, and the smaller ones to the planet Saturn, and the stars Spica and Rigel Centaurus. And this, combined with the fact that they tended to approach as the clouds cleared and disappear as the clouds gathered, suggests that what these people were looking at were the heavenly bodies. But if that's what they were looking at, it is not what they saw. What they saw was flying discs, and on one of them, four men walking about. Now, how are we to make sense of that? In Fox's documentary, The Phenomenon, he devotes, as I said, a few minutes to the sighting, and he does play a video of Father Gil describing what he's experienced. But then the video stops for a few seconds, and the narrator says, "Gil saw small men moving around on the disc." Now, Gil never said the men were small. Fox is introducing that idea in order to harmonize the sighting with the standard depiction of the UFO pilots as little men. Never little green men, but little men. But I think we have to concentrate on what Gil in fact saw, and according to him, they were human beings, except they glowed and led him to think they were angels. So it looks to me like if we are interpreting the vision, and I'm going to call it a vision rather than a sighting, we have to put it in a different category from the conventional ufological category that Fox wants to force it into. It seems to me we need to put it into a religious category. I suggested a parallel with the biblical story of Abraham and his three visitors.
Most of us are familiar with this case. And I hear what you're saying, But I'm kind of hearing you doing maybe the same thing. You're taking certain elements and picking it out of the sighting and wanting to put it into sort of your particular worldview and perspective of what happened, maybe as much as the people there were, except the people who were there actually saw it and said it was large enough that they could see people standing on top, that it approached them, and it only appeared to be about 100 meters up in the air. I mean, if you are down there on a regular basis and you look up in the sky, you know the difference between planets and stars and some kind of craft hanging in the sky a few hundred meters away. I don't think you can mistake it that badly with your perception that you're going to start to conflate ideas of, you know, planets from whatever else that they saw. But there's the idea here that they thought that maybe what they were seeing was something religious. And that makes perfect sense in the context that they were in a religious retreat, you know, in a mission where they were believing in angels. How else could they explain it?
Well, we could have. The Papuans had some explanatory models for it. The indigenous traditions spoke of human-like sky beings who sometimes took on full human form and descended to Earth to visit the people down here. Papua New Guinea was the home of the cargo cults, which were devoted to trying to get the sky beings to come down and deliver plentiful cargo to their children on Earth, the way the American and Japanese airmen did during World War II. One Australian professor, many years later, remembered hearing from a Papuan University student that, "I saw the heavens opened and angels in white clothing. I saw it with my own eyes," which comes out sounding rather like the Gill sighting, minus the mechanical equipment.
Let's break it here, guys. More to come with David, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we have David Halpern. We're talking about the 1959 Father Gill sighting, which is one of the pieces of evidence included in James Fox's UFO documentary, The Phenomenon. Now remember, Fox is a movie maker, not a UFO investigator. David is now explaining why it's not necessarily a visitation by ET, but something else. Go ahead.
If we try to say that this is one among multiple cases of a close-up UFO sighting, then we are flummoxed by why the pilots seem to be so different from the way UFO occupants are regularly described. So I would try to look at it. What I see it as is a way of the European priest and his Papuan congregation coming together by the formation of a shared vision, drawing on both their traditions. And this need for a shared vision was so powerful that it overruled the plain evidence of their senses, which, as Randall says, you would expect that they've seen these heavenly bodies every night. Why this night suddenly do they take on such an extraordinary aspect? And I would add, how do they seem to see them in the same way? I posit some sort of communication among them, but I am not wholly comfortable with that. And here is where I see the real UFO mystery, not in the sky, but among human beings.
That's perfectly fair enough. I mean, even if we are talking about an actual material craft with some other entities or beings on it, that doesn't change what you're just saying about the impact of the experience on the witnesses. It doesn't change it at all. And I think that side of it is really quite fascinating, whether we're dealing with material UFOs or not. And by the way, we all know there has been plenty of mistaken misidentifications of planets as being UFOs. So this isn't all that far-fetched. But one thing I did find in James Fox's film, The Phenomenon, is that there was a short clip of an interview with Father Gill. And in this clip, I was expecting to see, you know, maybe some old person who didn't seem very adept at much and was just out there doing his missionary work and would not have been able to really identify what this was, even, you know, in it. But he seemed really quite with it. He did not seem in any way to be impaired in his judgment about what was going on. And I thought that gave the case some credibility then and there.
I mean, that is one thing that Fox, it seems to me, demonstrated with the phenomenon, which is that UFO witnesses are not in some way deficient, that you are dealing with extremely intelligent, often very impressive people who have encountered something they cannot identify.
So what would this particular sighting sort of add up to in your mind then, too? I mean, we do have all of this sort of mystical interpretation going on around it. Do you think that perhaps if there were, and just for the sake of this argument, if we assume maybe there were real entities on board a real craft, that they were intentionally trying to evoke this mystical sense within the viewers? There was some purpose?
I'm trying to formulate my answer. It's very hard for me to believe such a thing. Which is, notably, why would they do that? Why would they do that? Assume that they're visitors from some other world. Why would they be interested in bonding an Australian Anglican priest with his nationalist and somewhat disgruntled congregants? Why would that be important to them? But if we take it all as a projection of the witnesses onto two planets and two stars that seem to be drawing nearer or moving away as the clouds thicken or disperse, then I can understand the motives well. What I do not understand, as well as I want to, is the mechanism by which the vision is created.
Remember here, if these were truly visitors from another planet, hundreds or thousands of years ahead of us, we don't have to assume what kind of technology could they be using, what kind of method, because being so far advanced, even our sci-fi writers would have difficulty figuring that out. The other thing here, too, is how can we presume to understand alien motivations? A race from another world, they come here, and they may be engaged in some kind of psychological games to test humans and see how they react to different scenarios. We don't have to assume that it's self-created.
And they would do this in 1959, more than 60 years ago, and then never do anything quite like it again?
Well, they seem to do this back in biblical times too, when during Exodus, God went before them in a pillar of fire in the sky and led them, to the Red Sea. You know the whole mythology, right? Sure. You're a professor on this, so it seems to me that it hasn't been just, recently that these things have been. Is it fair to say interfering in our society, breaking the commandment?
But how much more so? How much more plausible is it to see the miracle at the Red Sea as a legendary construction by Israelites who longed for some demonstration of the power of their unique God, a God who not only is not cosmic in scope, but seems very narrow and national? Surely such a God is a better understood as a projection of his worshippers than as a benevolently interfering extraterrestrial. Benevolent, unless you happen to be Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Take perhaps an even clearer, an even more striking case, and that is the vision in the first chapter of Ezekiel of the living creatures, the wheels. Now, I do not understand that vision, and I'm prepared to say that vision is a UFO, not meaning a spaceship, but meaning something unknown, something emerging from Ezekiel's unconscious that he cannot identify. And then it goes on to speak in the language of Ezekiel's God. Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, the rebellious house that have rebelled against me, they and their fathers, down to this very day, and go on and on in ways that's almost, to me, incomprehensible for extraterrestrial visitors, but thoroughly comprehensible as the projection of a lonely Jewish exile in Babylonia trying to make some sense of the calamity that's overcome his country. In addition to which, he's experienced something that, to me, comes from his unconscious.
Possibly. The idea that people have throughout the ages also taken certain kinds of herbs and substances that have contributed to their mystical experiences. Maybe it was something like that. Or maybe it really was some kind of a contraption that was like wheels within wheels, like a gyroscope, and that the faces around the edges were portals that these creatures were looking through, and that the legs that were like pillars with hooves were landing struts. I mean, we could look at it both ways.
You know what? Let's have David's answer in our next segment. I should mention about the phenomenon. We're giving away free coupon codes, which include the 3 hours of extras for the phenomenon directed by James Fox. If you sign up for a long-term subscription to the Paracast Plus, to sign up, go to theparacast.plus. That's theparacast.plus. More to come with David Halpern, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.